Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is so good to be back with you. Guess what? We made it to the last Sunday in this year, 2023. If you are just excited to be alive and to know who Jesus is, can you just give him some praise? Maybe you need to put some hallelujahs in the chat, some emoticons, lift up those hands, clap those hands. Maybe you need to run around the room just thanking the Lord for this Sunday as we're getting ready to transition to 2024. The Lord has been so faithful. He's ordered our steps. He has kept us, and it's so good to know that he's in charge. If you look at my background, you can see there's a chalkboard. I grew up with that chalkboard like that in school systems, and I remember the teacher writing things on there with that piece of white chalk, and sometimes we'd have colored chalk, and we're going to deal with that today as we get into the message. What is God writing on your chalkboard? Yes, your life that he has for you. I am telling you, it is such a wonderful blessing just to be used of the Lord. Please don't forget to stay connected to ebcnc.com. Download that app so you can get the notifications. Things are constantly changing. We have our Monday manna, our Tuesday noonday Bible study, our Wednesday virtual Bible study at 7 o'clock, and then on Thursdays, we have a Bible study in person right there in the sanctuary of Ebenezer at 6 o'clock. God has just been doing exceedingly abundantly above what we can dare ask or think with all of those Bible studies. Please continue to pray for our 8:45 in person, our 10:45 in person, and of course, our 10 o'clock online. And I just want to personally thank you for your support and your love throughout 2023. And I know you're going to continue to pray as we transition to 2024. Well, I want your hearts to be prepared. We're going to have some scriptures. We're going to be singing together so that we can receive a word from the Lord. We'll see you soon.
Psalms 139 says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, knew it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." And this was my encouragement to him. "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Amen.
And the title of this piece that I've written is called "The Meaning of Bethlehem." And it is in this manner. It occurred to me that from the time of eternity past, only God's truth will last forever. And that nothing could have come into existence without the power of the universal creator. And therefore, everything that has come to be or will ever come to be, must first begin from the divine imagination of the most omnipotent He. For He will quietly manifest into our consciousness the reason for our destiny, which arises from the source of His divine deity, which is representative of life eternal and life everlasting. For He has no beginning and He has no end. But then again, this causes us to try and comprehend the connectedness between the Alpha and the Omega. And as this thought ponders the intrigue of my mind, as we attempt to try to find the truth of God's meaning, our spirit will come to realize the incomprehensible magnanimity of our Creator's glory. But it will also be revealed to our soul the reason for the birth of our Savior's story. For God made Him who knew no sin, and God made Him so that all humanity would not perish and suffer in the end. A star shone brightly in the eastward sky, signaling to the earth that a Savior was nearby. A child was born in a city named Bethlehem. He was born to be the unblemished and untainted sacrificial lamb, sacrificing His divine holiness just to demonstrate His unconditional love for us, sacrificing His life for those of us who are unworthy and for those of us who need to learn that in Him we must trust. A light was given to the world in the form of a small baby boy, a light that would shine throughout all generations to give hope and to offer true eternal joy. A virgin girl in Bethlehem gave birth to a gift of life that was sent to save the world. That gift of life will one day die on a cross so that our forgiveness and salvation could unfurl. And thus goes the story of our journey to seek the purpose of that extraordinary day. And yet, perhaps not fully understanding that our salvation was also born in that place. For Bethlehem is the city where we all can trace the heritage of our spiritual birthplace. But only when we kneel down on our hands and knees and ask God for forgiveness, please, to free our soul and to uplift our mind and to help heal the infestation of our sinful disease. For our Savior came humbly into this world, cold and naked in His human flesh. He bore no shame, and He bore no sin. And only words of love would be what He would confess. Covered in swaddling clothes and protected by the anointing blessing from His Father on high, He clothed the world with His acts of kindness until it was time for Him to say goodbye. So we must see Bethlehem for what Bethlehem truly is. It is the city of the world's rebirth and the place where God wiped away all the world's fears. It is the city that said to the world, "You need not worry no more, for a Savior has come that will make hope possible for every man, woman, girl, and boy." So Bethlehem is a special in more ways than one. But the most special way is that it's the city that sits on a hill that can proclaim the birth of God's Son. So it occurred to me that from the time of eternity past, that only God's truth will last forever. And His truth is that Bethlehem is the place where Jesus Christ's face became the true reason for the season.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of my dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared, and the soul felt his word. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel's voice. Christ was born. Oh, night divine. Oh, night. Oh, night divine. Us to love one another. His love is the law, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall be broke, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy and grateful choruses raise us. Let all within us praise his holy name. Cry, says the Lord, oh, praise his name forever.
Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is so good to just be back with you. I tell you, we have made it to the final Sunday in this year. Can you just give God some hand claps of praise? Lift up those hands and just thank Him for His grace and mercy. I know for many, it has been a tough, tough year, but I want you to know that God has never left you or forsaken you. And so just give Him praise for all His mercies that He's shown in your life. I'm excited just simply because we are coming to the end of this series, and I am believing that we are definitely growing more and more in the Lord as we're in fulfilling our calling. We've been talking about that. We want to be used tremendously of the Lord. As we get back into our memory scripture, that memory scripture has been a powerful hallmark in our lives. 1 Corinthians 6:19, just want you to read it aloud with me as I read it together with you, and we're getting it into our mind and it's seeping down into our hearts. So let's read together that 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Isn't that good just to know that we are not our own? Well, before we go any further, we just want to go on a word of prayer, and I ask you to pray with me as we just welcome God's Holy Spirit with us today. Father, I just thank you so much for who you are. Lord, thank you for being a God in a time of need, never leaving us or forsaking us. Lord, even in the midst of these stressful times within our country and the world, we know that you are more than enough. Father, I pray for those who are looking in and viewing, and maybe they just don't know you today. I pray that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead, and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Oh, that they receive that miraculous gift today. Now, Father, I ask you to make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. Lord, we just praise you and magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you put in that chat, just say amen. Well, today, as we have come to the conclusion of this series, God put it on my heart to go to the book of Revelations. Yes, the book of Revelation. So I want you to go with me to Revelations chapter 22 and that 12th verse, Revelations 22 and 12. And it reads, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." Listen to that again, Revelations 22:12. "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." I want to speak for the subject today, God's will for my life. God's will for my life. I'm telling you, as we came on today and you saw that chalkboard in the background, that's the way our lives are. But simply from God's viewpoint, He has written so much on that board, so much that maybe we've already gone through, and so much that we don't even know that we're going to experience. But we do know that God is with us. He has a will for our lives. As we go into this particular portion of scripture, so much has already happened. As you go to the book of Revelation, we have so many prophecies that speak to the church. It speaks to good churches as well as bad churches. It shows these angels coming forth and bringing judgment upon the earth. And it shows that the enemy is going to be locked up, and then eventually he is going to be secured away from the world forever. And that is good news. And then the end of the book comes, and it, in essence, it circles back around to the book of Genesis, where we end up in the paradise of God with a new heaven and a new earth. Let's go ahead and jump into the scripture today. Revelations 22:12 again, it says, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with with me to give to everyone according to his work. Here's our first point. There is a reward. There is a reward. So often in our lives, we forget that the end of all of this, there is a reward. Now, as the Christians, we don't do things for God just to receive the reward, but it is a blessing to know that the saints who are faithful will get a full award for the things that they've done in their lives. Luke 12:35 talks about this. Jesus says this, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks." That Luke 12:37, "Blessed are those whose servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at a table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants." Saints, we've got to stay vigilant. We've got to stay awake. This world has a way of trying to lull us into laziness. Yes, I want to say that again. This world has a way of trying to lull us into laziness. The enemy is doing all he can do to get us off track. But I am so glad to know that God's calling is being fulfilled in us. Are there any amens out there? Look at Revelation 22:12. I love this as we continue to read and suck it in. It says, "And behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." I wanted to focus in on that second part again, according to his work. The question that I have for you is, how is God using you? And are you giving yourself 100% to the calling that God has in your life? You may say, "Pastor, how do I get there?" We talked about this over and over. Get into the word, prayer, and worshiping him, submitting, and open up your heart just to hear his voice and do what he says. I must be honest with you. When we determine to walk more with God, it gets tough. There's going to be so many times our flesh is going to want to go one way and we're going to want to go the other way. But we've got to come to that point of saying, "Father, not my will, but let your will be done." You remember in the Old Testament, there was a story of this lady who became a queen. Her name was Esther. And she was struggling because her family, the Jews, were under attack. Mordecai, her uncle, found himself in a predicament. And Esther was the only one, it seemed, at least at that point, to make a difference. But she felt that she didn't have a voice with the king. Look at that Esther 4:14. It says, "For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Saints of God, I believe this is our time, that we're in the United States of America or wherever you're listening from. God has placed us here for a reason, in this season, for this time to be used. And so often we can think that, you know what, Lord, use someone else. And he can, he is using, but God has placed a special gift, a special calling in your life. We're talking about God's will for our lives. Now look at that Esther 4:15, it says, "Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, 'Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, or night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish.'" I am telling you, she gives some minutes. She says, "Okay, I'm going to do this. I don't know what's going to happen, but I need you to fast." Can you put in the chat, can you say fast, fast? Yes, there's sometimes as we're wanting God's will in our life, we're going to have to fast. We're going to have to go without food. We're going to have to submit ourselves and say, "God, it is all about you." And she says, "I need you to fast me." She said, "Don't let anybody eat, because I need the power of God to direct my steps." And then at the end part of the scripture, he said, if I perish, let me perish. God wants all of us. You remember Romans 12:1. We've quoted it so often. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God, which is your reasonable service. That's the low bar of it. And God is saying, I want all of you. Let's look at this Revelations 22:13. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Here's the next point. He is our everything. He is our everything. I'm so glad to know God is our everything. Any amens out there? To know that He is so faithful. He is there with us when we don't feel like He's there with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He is our everything. There's a song that so often the gospel choir used to sing and used to bless my heart. It says it like this: God is my everything. God is my everything. He's my joy in sorrow. He's my hope for tomorrow. He's my rock in a weary land, my shelter in the time of storm. God is my everything. Are there any amens out there? Can you put in the chat, say everything, everything. God is my everything. Since He is our everything, we understand that God is doing so much in our lives. Matthew 25:31 talks about when the Son of Man shows back up. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. Matthew 25:32, all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Now, this is so important as we think about this. God is saying that there's goats and there's sheep. The sheep are those who hear His voice and do what He's told them to do. And there's going to be a separating time. This book of Revelation is letting us know eventually we are going to have to stand before the Lord. But notice this, Matthew 25:34. It says, then the king will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. It's so good to know that God is our everything. He wants us to succeed. But saints, the reality is that as we stand before Him, there's going to be a report card. And I am so glad for those who are saved and we love the Lord. I'm pleading the blood of Jesus. I'm going to stand behind the cross and all that God has done for me, and simply I'm going to say, God, I wanted to do all that you had for me. And saints, I pray that that's going to be your prayer as we stand before the Lord. And that's why He's given us His Holy Spirit to empower us that His will can be in our lives. Look at this, Revelations 22:14. It says, blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. I love this one. This is the point. Doers. Yes, doers, doers. When we think about our lives, God is saying, I have created you to do something for me. Can you put that in the chat? Do, just do, do, do. That's an action. That is something that is fulfilled via through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about God's will for our life, that we can say, God, I thank you for even desiring to use me. You know, the book of James, James talks about this being used of God and being doers of the word. He says in James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And then that James 1:23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. James James 1:25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this is the one that will be blessed in what he does. Saying so often we can forget because there are so many niceties in this life and there's so many distractions that we can go into. We can forget that really God has put us here to do his will. He has put us here so that we can touch other people's lives and we can make a difference. He has put us here that we can share the good news and ultimately more souls can be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. But look at James 1:26 here. It says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one religion is useless. James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Isn't it good to know as God's will is being manifested in our lives, we are being changed. Yes, we're able to bridle our tongue. We are able to do deeds that are pure. We're not just trying to come up with stuff so that we'll be seen, but we're doing it because God is speaking in our hearts. And guess what? God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can dare ask or think. Are there any witness out there? Have you seen God show up and show out just because you were a willing vessel? Can you give God some praise right now? He has been so, so good. Matthew 16:19, it talks about this, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The Lord was speaking to Peter in this, and he's saying, if you can get in the will that I have for you and you walk in the calling, you can do some magnanimous things. You can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You can touch and agree, and you can bring unity in times of confusion. I am telling you, he said, I will honor when you call on me. Remember, he said, all you've got to ask when you pray and believe, you receive it simply because when you get and I get in God's will, something will happen. But look at this, Revelation 22:14. It says, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Wanted to focus on that fact because saints, realize we are blessed when we're doing the commandments of the Lord. Can you put in the chat, blessed wherever you're standing or sitting, say, I am blessed. When we understand the will of God for our lives, we can't help to have blessings just rolling off on us. And please understand, as God blesses us, he is blessing others. Remember, we talked about as we stand before the Lord in Matthew 25:23, his master said in him, well done, good and faithful servant, you've been faithful over little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Oh, what a blessed day when we stand before God and we can hear him say, well done. Can you put in the chat, I'm going to work here today, well done, and just say, God, I thank you, because if it had not been for God on our side, if it had not been for the Lord continuing to hold us when we almost gave up, when we did give up, aren't you glad God was there to hold us and encourage us? I'm talking about God's will in our lives. Let's look at this, Revelation 22:15. It says, but outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral, murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Here's the point of this, the other side. Yes, the other side. There is, as we have been dealing all this year on fulfilling our calling and staying in God's will for our life, there is the other side. And the enemy is working to pull people out of the will of God. Even the saints that say we're sold out to the Lord, we want to give him 100%, we've got an adversary. We've got an enemy, demons and the Satan himself that's coming against the body of Christ, bringing darkness,
sadness and gloom. So many are fighting through depression and fighting through other issues in their life because the enemy does not want to see God's will in our lives. Matthew Henry writes a very poignant quote. Here it reads, it says, "Condemned and excluded from heaven are all wicked, unrighteous persons, and particularly those that love and make lies." Saints of God, this is where we are in this season and this time. We've got to know that the enemy is doing all he can do to pull people to the side. Olsten, he wrote the Toad Articles. He wrote this. He said, "Society inures us to the acts of immorality and decadence. We passively accept violence and exploitation as part of the cultural normative." There ought to be some ouches in the house. So often we partake in things that are ungodly. We view things on our social media or our streaming platforms that really are not good for our spirit. And many times we are convicted as we're partaking in that. But I encourage you that we need to become more sensitive to God's spirit, God's will for our lives. And there are going to be times we're going to have to shut that stuff down. We're going to have to bring in more things that are pure and holy and righteous, that produce the fruit of the Spirit within our lives. 1 Peter chapter 1 and 13, it says it like this. It says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" There ought to be some saints say, I want to be holy. Can you put in the chat and say holy wherever you're sitting? Say holy. We've got to gird up our loins. We've got to stay focused when we get up in the morning. I dare you to give God praise as you roll out of the bed and just thank God for another opportunity to be used in an amazing way. God's will in our lives wants to be manifested so that calling can be seen by all of those that are around us. But look at this, 1 Peter 1:17, "And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear." I love this 18th verse, "knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." There ought to be some hallelujahs and some praises to know that God is so good and is working in us to do his will and his pleasure. Saints of God, we have got saints that are around us. And if we can just hold hands in the spirit and say, we're going to push through this. We want God's will. How dare you today to decide, God, I want to be used of you. I dare you to hear God's voice and lay hands on somebody and say, you know what? I just feel led right now to pray for you and God's will for your life. Look at this, Revelations 22 and 16. I love this. It says, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And the spirit and the bride says, 'Come,' and let him who hears says, 'Come,' and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." Here's the point, and we're going to pull this all together. Stay thirsty. Stay thirsty. There ought to be some saints who say, "I am thirsty." Now, I know the world has a different meaning for this and their thought patterns, but this thirst that I'm talking about is a pure thirst for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and God's will for our lives. Saints of God, we've got to decide what we want more of the Lord. I want you to come to the point of saying, "God, I want you and I need you." You know that song says, "I need you, Lord. Oh, how I need you." Saints of God, we need him more. We need to thirst for him. You remember that lady that was at the well and had a confrontation with Jesus the Christ as she was there to get water from the well. Jesus came forth and brought a spiritual connotation of what it meant to be thirsty for him. And that John 4:13, it says, "Jesus, Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come and here to draw any more." I'm telling you, when we think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done, the line is placed at Jesus Christ. Yes, we've been teaching in our Bible studies in the book of Luke about the crucifixion. I'm so glad that Jesus went through all of that, that he allowed them to spit on him, to talk about him. He allowed them to put nails in his hands and nails in his feet. And there we see our Jesus, our Christ, the anointed one on the cross of Calvary. We're talking about the wheel for our lives. Man, it did not look pretty up there as Christ was going through and blood was permeating out of his flesh. But I'm so glad for the will of God. For there on the cross of Calvary, he carried our sins and bore our griefs. He died on the cross of Calvary. But there ought to be some saints say, "I know the end of the story. They put him in a cold grave, but 3 days later, he got up with all power and all glory for you and me, so that his will would be fulfilled in our lives." Saints, as we enter out of 2023 and prepare ourselves to go into 2024, God wants to use us more and more. It does not matter how young you are or how old you are. God's will, God desires his will to be manifested fully in our lives. Saints, I want to speak into your lives. God is faithful. You may say, "Pastor, you don't know how much I've messed up in 2023, the mistakes I've made with my family, my friends, my associates." I want you to know that God is faithful. When we were faithless, God was still there. I said it earlier, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We must embrace God's will for our lives. Man, if you don't know him today, I pray that you just bow down to him and say, "God, I'm a sinner. I need your saving grace." Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, and the scriptures are clear, you will be saved. Now that is good, good news. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you again for your will being manifested in our lives. God, it is tough sometimes. As the old saints say, sometimes we have to go by ourselves. But in essence, Lord, you are with us and you are walking. You are holding us. You are establishing us. And we're so grateful for that. I thank you for the souls that will be saved in the coming days. And today, I thank you for the souls that have been saved through 2023. Thank you, God, for giving us another opportunity that your will can grow forth in our lives. Thank you for that, God, for the calling that you put on our lives. Lord, thank you for another day that you have made. Father, as we go through this day, we pray. Our prayer is that you use us for your glory, Father. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod, when you kiss your little baby. You have kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? Oh, oh, oh. Mary, did you know? Oh, oh, oh. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know your baby boy is the Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Oh, Mary, Mary, did you know? Oh, Mary, did you know? Oh, did you know? Oh, Mary, did you know? Oh, oh. Oh, Mary, did you know?